Announcing from every hilltop, the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Take a moment now and join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, we all know the verse. It's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That verse is plastered almost everywhere today. And what does it mean anymore? Do we even understand what it means? And have we really understood it in context? What is not quoted and what is not a bumper sticker verse is what follows. But he who believes in him is not condemned. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. So, you know, there's a really beautiful truth outlined there. For those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, there is therefore now no condemnation. That's Romans 8:1, the basis of exactly what Jesus said here. That whole statement presupposes justification by faith alone, that when a sinner believes the gospel, he's justified forever. But Jesus here is emphasizing the other truth. It goes like this. You don't have to wait until judgment day to know what God's verdict is against those who will not believe or submit their lives to Jesus. Jesus is saying this to Nicodemus, and he's basically saying, Nicodemus, consider carefully what your unbelief really means. You see, Jesus is here saying and ripping away any possibility that man is in some kind of neutral state. You know, that's how we think. Hell is over there, heaven is over there, and I'm the captain of my ship, and with my own free will, I will decide my destiny. Well, the Bible over and over tells us no one is walking the middle of the road. We don't have free will as we think we have free will. Our wills are bound up with what our master is. And Romans 6 tells us you either have one of two masters. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? So you're either a slave to your sin or slave to righteousness. And Christ is here saying that his presence on the scene of history makes the judgment so in the present. This is all present tense. And this is a really crucial point. Jesus is announcing something really glorious, but equally fearful for those who are in a state of unbelief. Listen carefully to John 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So put this together. On the one hand, anyone who believes in the name of the Son of Man, what is heaven's present verdict? Absolutely, unequivocally, no condemnation. That is wonderful. Jesus just announced that the judgment has already been rendered for the one who has come to him and believed in him. Jesus' presence on the scene of history to pay the penalty ushers forward the final judgment for the believer. The final verdict is given. It's in. The jury has handed it. By faith, you're joined to him. There is no condemnation for the believer. Jesus just said, you're a believer. That's it. You don't have to fear it. It's done. But then he says something else in verse 19. But this is the judgment for the unbeliever. The word here is krisis. The very same word is used for judgment here in verses like this. And it is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment. Again, assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. On the basis that God has sent his Son into the world to be the Savior, the verdict is already given concerning those who despise him. In fact, in this very chapter, what does he say? He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. You're already given it. The principle of life is placed in the heart. That's regeneration. That's what Jesus said had to happen with the new birth. Then he says this, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. That word for wrath is orge in the Greek. It's the hottest, intense wrath of God. So it goes like this. The hottest, intense, present wrath of God hangs over the head of those who do not believe. You see what Jesus is doing here. He's saying, think carefully, Nicodemus, of what your refusal to believe really means. You're not neutral. We're not sitting and waiting based on your free will. It means you're under the condemnation. You're under the final judgment. And that should be a horrifying thing. You know, I'm not so sure we understand what preaching is today. But when I go back and read sermons, you know, that were very influential of times past, it's amazing to me how strong they were to warn and tell sinners to flee the wrath to come. The most jolting sermon probably given in this country by who they say was the greatest theologian ever to come produced in this country was Jonathan Edwards. And he just repeats exactly in descriptive language the very thing Jesus is saying here, that the wrath of God presently abides on those who do not believe. Let me quote Jonathan Edwards in that famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Edward says, the unbeliever, natural men, are held in the hand of God over the pit of hell. They have deserved the fiery pit and are already sentenced to it. And God is dreadfully provoked. His anger is as great towards them as to those that are actually suffering the executions of the fierceness of his wrath in hell. And they have done nothing in the least to appease or abate that anger. Neither is God in the least bound by any promise to hold them up one moment. The devil is waiting for them. Hell is gaping for them. The flames gather and flash around them and would fain lay hold on them and swallow them up. That is a dreadful thought. Just a dreadful thought. And we read in verse 19, Jesus says that. This is the judgment. The light has come. And men loved the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Now, the concern here is how to distinguish the two. Jesus now focuses on the great distinction that is made between those who are right now rejecting the witness of Jesus Christ and those who are right now delighting in it. And that becomes very important studying this because we all have works of darkness. The Christian does. All of us do works that are evil. But there is a crucial difference. You see, now Jesus presses Nicodemus to think about the fact that his own life, Nicodemus's life, is falling either into one of these two categories. And we must think in the same terms. If Nicodemus is in the darkness, if he be in the darkness, the question then is, are we? Are you? How does Christ distinguish between those who have truly believed and been regenerated and given life and those who are under the condemnation because they've not believed? Well, in verse 20, Jesus highlights three things that expose the present consequence of unbelief. Present consequence of unbelief. Here's the evidence. Listen to verse 20. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. Notice the first thing said. They practice evil. Crucial mark of someone in the darkness. In other words, sin is a way of life with no change. Now, putting this in context, remember Nicodemus says, how can these things be about this new birth? And Jesus says, are you a teacher in Israel and do not know these things? You don't know the effect of this? Remember what confused Nicodemus? He didn't know what the effects of the new birth were. Are you telling me you don't know what this changed life is? We testify to it. Look all around you at people who are changed. See, this was such an important point of John the Apostle, that he took this very teaching of our Lord, and he did the same thing to warn and encourage Christians to know the difference. This is 1 John 3, verse 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Well, there's the difference. There are those who continue to practice the lifestyle of sin, with no sorrow, no change, no victory, and they remain in the sin. So Jesus applies this. Anyone practicing sin, living in a lifestyle of sin, what do you think they do with the light? Well, my friends, you know this. How many people do you know who say they're Christians and live directly contrary to the express law of God? Live with somebody and they're not married or whatever it might be. What happens when you confront them with the light? They say, oh, great, I love what you're saying to me. No, they hate it. They won't come. Why? Because it exposes their life. What is the mark of, Proverbs says, of a godly man? He commits sin. Someone who cares about him comes to correct him. What is the mark of someone living in the light? How does he view that correction? Well, Proverbs tells us, he who receives correction is prudent. When someone in the light is corrected for his folly, he sees it for what it is, a blessing. And he thanks that person because that person cared enough to come to him and pull him out of the darkness. But what of someone who's in the darkness? Jesus says he's practicing evil, and because sin is a way of life, he what? He hates the light, and he will not come to the light because he doesn't want anything exposed. They get mad. They get mad. They're infuriated because you have uncovered something about their life. They don't want exposed because they love that darkness more than the truth. People love misery. They love to hate. They love to bask in their sin. And Proverbs 15 tells us, he who disdains instruction despises his own soul. Why? Because they won't come to the light. They won't let the light shine in on their heart for correction. And this is what Jesus characterizes as the characteristic of unbelief. You know, you have a million examples of this. Young people, think about it. Parent comes to you to address your sin. You don't like it. What happens? It's anger. It's resentment. It gives the charge, oh, don't judge me. How much do we hear that today? I'm not doing that. A rolling of the eyes. There you go again. And the pattern of darkness grows because the child successfully learns to manipulate the parent to be scared to say anything lest the relationship is lost altogether. You have a million examples of this. Jesus, my friends, is describing unbelief and the consequences of it. And what a warning it is. Do you see your sin? Is your life characterized like Nicodemus, one of refusing to see it, wanting to continue in your present lifestyle with no desire for repentance and life imparted to you by the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, Jesus is saying, if you remain in that state, you're under the condemnation even now. But he's not saying this fatalistically. All who come to Christ will live. So that leads me to the great question at the end of this broadcast today. Have you come to Christ? Dear sinner, come to Christ. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we exposit the scriptures and give you an invite to join us to hear those expositions, all with the purpose of showing you the person and the work of Jesus Christ. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. LindenURC.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.